still the best, now for more than 12 years. Is Radio Free Cybertron, hosted by Brian Kilby, with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, Peter Van, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformers news, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron for August. No, September. God! I'm getting so old so quick. I'm aging before my very eyes. It's September 6th. 2012. Like, Christmas is like 3 months away. What am I going to get myself? I don't even know.
G2 Brooder Kiss?
Yeah, that comes out November 17th or so, something like that.
19th.
I was telling a friend at work today about that. I was trying to explain to him what the G2 Brooder Kiss was. And I think he misunderstood.
I bet that went really well.
Well, no, he's a fan. He's a fan. He's a collector. The conversation started. I asked him if he picked up Thought of Cybertron Shockwave. He's like, yeah, I love it. I'm like, yeah, it's okay. It's like, yeah, it's got a good robot mode, but it doesn't transform into anything, which he immediately, you know, disagreed with, but he relented. He's like, well, it transforms into something. So, but yeah, so I was explaining to him about the G2 Bruticus, and I think he originally took that the reissuing G2 Bruticus for Fall of Cybertron, but he was pretty excited. I think it actually led to this interesting conversation about all the third party stuff that's out there. And if you haven't listened to last week's episode, it's our third party roundup for August. But it just got me to thinking that, you know, he's a fan. He checks like T-Formers and AllSpark and stuff, but he's not like in it like, you know, we are. It's just there's so much stuff going on now that it's just really hard to keep up if you're not, you know, like constantly checking the boards, like the Versus set from Shattered Glass that is going to be the collaboration between eHobby and the Collectors Club. I mean, one, it's pretty much unheard of. I mean, they've collaborated before. You know, we've had, you know, eHobby stuff, which is always sort of like obscure, you know, homages to things that have come out or black repaints, either one. But this time it's something that the Collectors Club has done. So, and it's basically Collectors Club design in G1 molds. Like, my mind is blown. And it's like, it's not a big deal. You know, if this were like 2003, that would be like the story of the year. But, there's just so much going on. And that's why we do this podcast every week. Or not.
It is?
No, not really.
I thought you just had a massive ego to satisfy.
It's pretty much it. Speaking of massive ego, this is XV.
I mean, 12 years on, I mean, it's kind of hard not to pick up on that.
Yeah, XV and Rob Clay. I'm Brian Kilby.
You sure about that?
Today.
Huh.
So,
had the good pills today, did you?
The good pills. Pretty good. Okay, so this week on the show, we have the TFormers.com news desk. Peter decided once again to let me...
Someone else do it.
Someone else do it. Me. And you get to enjoy JD and me trying to talk about the news and pretending that, that I'm Peter. Just doesn't work. I don't know why, but just never works out quite like that. We also have Rescue Bots from Amy and Nicole this week, as well as the newest Transformers Rewind. John DeLuna joins us for Rewind for the first time. It's pretty sweet. We recorded a couple of those this past weekend. Is there one in particular that you're looking forward to airing, XV?
I've always been a fan of Dark Designs.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. That's an interesting episode that sort of, you know... previews, maybe not the right word, but sort of is followed later on in Beast Machine. So
I suppose
it's pretty cool, and of course it's Rhinox being God.
Well, that's the thing too. If you look back at Beast Wars, there's really not a lot of Rhinox episodes.
He's either farting or evil.
Which, I mean, depending who you ask, could be one and the same.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
Although he did better than Waspinator in that he actually got focus episodes.
Yeah, and, you know,
when Waspinator had a focus episode, but he wasn't even Waspinator for the whole thing.
Yeah. The problem is, Waspinator actually, at the end of Beast Wars, was the one that had the good ending. And you're like, oh, yeah. Yay, Waspinator, he gets his due. Of course, then that's completely taken away. Gut-wrenchingly so.
Yes.
You know, we'll live, though. So let's go ahead and jump to the TFormers.com news desk. This is the TFormers.com news desk. I am not Peter Van. Peter Van is on assignment this week. I am Brian Kilby.
I'm JD Church.
Hey, that worked. That's awesome. Yeah. I should like to do that on the show. Actually, on the normal rest of the show, people aren't so responsive.
Yeah, it's that probably wouldn't work. I'm trained, so that it works with me.
That's pretty good. Okay, so we have a few news items this week. Not as packed as last week, which is good because Peter is far more organized than I am. First up, we have the Transformers Ultimate gift set. So, as we reported previously, Big Bad Toy Store has posted images for the G2-themed Hasbro-exclusive Transformers Ultimate gift set. It was previously reported as a Walmart exclusive, but now seems to be a mass market offering. So we get Reveal the Shield redecos of Deluxe, G2 Optimus Prime, and Jazz, and Legend Starscream and Optimus. So you may be in luck this fall if you come across those. So Legend Starscream will be redecoed as Thundercracker, and Optimus Prime as Motor Master. Optimus, the G2 Optimus mold, is it's Combat Hero Optimus, so that's pretty surprising. And Jazz is he's Jazz.
I'm weirded out by the fact that there's both a G1 and a G2 Autobot logo on the G2 Optimus.
Let's see here. I'm looking for the G2 logo. Where is it at?
Look at the vehicle mode, and it's on the door.
Ah, here we go. I wonder if this is just... yeah, oh, wow. Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, so it's a little strange. But the of note as well is that this is the weapon version. We know that as far as the retail version of the Legends Optimus and Starscream and that set, that they're coming with weapons now. That those molds came with, I guess, originally.
Yeah.
And so this pack has the weapons as well. The Optimus has a sword. Well, I guess it's Motor Master. And then Thundercracker with the guns. So
yeah, that's really interesting. I have to say, I really, really like that Optimus is Motor Master.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks pretty good. I mean... I'm kind of tired of Optimus's Motor Master.
Yeah, it's so easy to do. I mean, there's fiction to tie it together. I mean, it's the same kind of vehicle, basically.
Yeah, it's somewhere in the same realm for me as doing Optimus as Ultra Magnus, you know?
Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's that bad.
It's not as bad, but it's somewhere below that. You know, it's like a few notches below that, so... But I'm really interested in that Thundercracker. That would go really nicely with my little Legend Starscream. So
yeah, I have a Thundercracker actually from it's already escaped me, the Easy Collection, and that would be nice to go along with it.
Yeah,
yeah, pretty sweet. Okay, so we recently, over the past week, got our first look at the Transformers E-Hobby Shattered Glass Soundwave versus Shattered Glass Blaster VSE images. So this, following up on the E-Hobby VSE set, news has come out that
we are getting this through the Collector's Club. Somehow. Mm-hmm. I guess details are coming on that. But we got looks at these toys this past week. So these are from the part of, the Solar Requiem collection is what they're calling this. So we are getting Blaster as well as Soundwave in their Shattered Glass form, as well as Slugfest, which I don't know that Slugfest has been released in the Encore line. I don't think
it has. I don't think so.
So
yeah.
The first use of that mold in forever. Ratbat, then Rewind and Eject, and Ramhorn. Show these off here. I really like the looks of this.
I'm not sure that the I don't know which is which. The floating one, I'm not sure, is with the set. I mean, because we haven't seen a figure version of that. We've only seen the red.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who that's.
I think that one is going to be released. I was reading some conjecture, keep in mind, that people are thinking that it's going to be released, and people are sort of trying to guess who that's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a very obscure character. So it looks like people are thinking that it's something from G2.
I don't know. Yeah. It looks like the Primus possessed Zarin from the comic.
I think someone actually had thought about that. So here we're looking at the robot mode of Shattered Glass Blaster. JD and I were talking earlier, not super excited about this in the BotCon set, but this is flipping gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, the and this is the Sound Blaster mold that they're using for Soundwave. So it's the two-door, as the two-tape mold. So it's got the double tape door on him. But I mean, there's a couple of nice things about the set. I mean, one, that it comes with Slugfest. Two, for as boring as the van version of Soundwave was, yeah, this looks really good.
Yes, it really does.
And even the blaster looks pretty good too.
Surprisingly so. Blaster is not my favorite Transformer.
This is an uber brick former.
It's terrible, but this is a nice deco. In fact, mm-hmm. I think I like this deco better than the original deco. It's almost mm-hmm. as good as the San Diego Comic-Con deco that they had changed a couple of years back to sort of make that toy look better. It's certainly better than the Twin Cast deco.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not really sure what color scheme they're trying to invoke out of it, or if it's just something they threw together. But it's interesting. And I mean, considering that you get both figures plus four cassettes, which I think maybe five, and it's retailing at $177 US. I think that it's 13. What did they say? Was 13.9. 13,900 yen.
That's about what I paid for the Encore Sound Blaster and Twin Cast. So that's not bad.
Yeah, and, yeah. I mean, it's a great price
and
for
Slugfest.
That.
Slugfest comes along with this. I was talking with some friends when this first showed up. It was actually Rob Springer on his Facebook page. He had mentioned this, and we were trying to figure out which Dino cassette it was. I was thinking it was Dial. Because of the position, instead of being on all fours, it was standing on its hind legs, so it kind of looked like I guess a raptor. I'm not in fourth grade anymore, so I'm really rusty on my dinosaurs. But instead of being whatever variety of dinosaur was, it's actually Slugfest. So, but that's nice. Dial would be a little better because it's more obscure and. It's been, it's just more obscure. But I will definitely take Slugfest.
Yeah.
I would like to
have
Kill too, but yeah.
I don't have a Ratbat, and so I mean this set has so many things that makes me want it. So I don't know. So and it's supposed to be New Year's release, I guess. So I guess hopefully we'll get more information out of the club when they actually start to release this. So
I get some Christmas money, I know where it's going.
Heck yeah.
and here's actual shots, it looks like, of the sticker sheet, which is something you don't normally get in these previews. So, pretty cool. I'm very excited about this.
Yeah, this is a cool set. This is a nifty deal all the way around. So,
yeah. So, with this being the case, I wonder if we're going to get any other sort of unexpected, you know, collaborations between eHobby and.
I don't know. This would seem to be a one-to-one. I mean, in the sense that, you know, this is a primary Japanese release that is also getting released here. And I think that eHobby is doing the Japanese distribution for the club exclusives.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it would seem to be that this is kind of like part of the one-to-one trade-off. But it does, I think you're right in the sense that it does make me hopeful that maybe there'll be more collaborations. The thing is that it just seems like these are going to be exclusives on both sides. So it makes me wonder, like, what those could be. You know, I'm not going to expect to get, you know, a particular mole in a particular color, you know, like first run color or something, but
yeah,
but we could get club stuff maybe that way. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Transformers Collectors Club expanding, you know, their offerings with the subscription service and such. It's really encouraging seeing, you know, this sort of stuff go on, because this really does, I think, it's service to the fans on both.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I think the mind-blowing thing for me out of this is that it's an actual G1 shattered glass. So an actual G1 mold, but in shattered glass.
That's wild.
It's just kind of mind-blowing. You know, I've gotten used to newer figures being painted up as things. So
yeah, eHobby does crazy stuff like that.
Yep.
So let's see here. And finally in the news, we reported back in June that Amazon was going to offer the Chinese New Year exclusive Year of the Dragon Ultimate Optimus Prime. It looks like Toys R Us will actually take that up in Canada. So Toys R Us will be offering the Year of the Dragon Optimus in Canada. I really honestly thought that this was sort of an odd release, especially to make it in the U.S., because it really doesn't seem to fit anything.
It doesn't mean anything to us, for the most part.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not like we had fans clamoring for this. I can understand fans wanting, you know, like things that, like the Asian exclusive deluxe generations toys. That makes sense, but this really doesn't. Though practically speaking, this may actually sell better than those, because it's another Optimus Prime.
I don't know, the Ultimate Optimus. I don't think it's been selling very well. I mean, I know I've seen several at Toys R Us. I mean, obviously I bought it, but
I didn't.
I mean, it's a nifty mold. It's a nifty set. It is very statuesque in that sense and looks kind of cool. I don't know that this does much to expand on that. I don't know that this, you know, looking at it, I mean, the color scheme is just a little bit different, but I don't know that it's any worse or better than the original. So, other than just being different.
Yeah, it's different. That's.
I mean, the box is actually really nice and displays. This would be one of those that I would get and display in box. You know, I don't know that I would open it just because it looks like it would display really well in the box. But
perhaps it just really doesn't do much of anything for me. Of course, now, you know, 5 years from now, when it's, you know, like super rare and people want it, I may be lusting over it. But
you'll buy two and open one.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
For like three times what they're going for now.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. So that's actually, I guess we can mention that it looks like we already knew this, but we got confirmation that the Transformers Collectors Club figure subscription service will start shipping in January. So, yes.
Yay.
Okay.
There you go, Jeremy. You get your Ultra Mammoth.
He is going to be so awesome. You are foolish for selling it. And Slipstream.
You're selling
Slipstream.
Of course I'm selling Slipstream. I have no interest in that figure.
It's a girl. You're fixed.
Well, I'm not interested in keeping it. I have both of those molds. Most of the stuff that I'm keeping is either a figure that I really, you know, like a new head mold, a new head on something that I don't, you know, that I want, like the breakdown, or something, you know, a mold that I don't have. So, you know, I have that mold. I have that mold.
It's great mold. It's great mold. Hey, so actually, as we close out, I'm a week late, but I wasn't on this last week. I want to mention that the G.I. Joe Field Manual was released last week. It's from our buddies Jim Sorensen and Bill Forster. Pick it up. Totally worth it. It rocks. You can get it a little cheaper from Amazon, too. So it's awesome. So check that out. So for the TFormers.com news desk, I am Brian Kilby.
I'm J.D. Church.
We will see you next week.
Go Steelers.
Prior to the news desk, we were talking, or I was talking, I don't think XV or Rob really care, about the New Year set that's coming out, the Shattered Glass Versus set. So in that, we're getting Slugfest, we're getting that mold, we're getting Ratbat, Ramhorn, and the Eject Rewind mold. Are we getting a fifth cassette in that? Has that been confirmed? Do you know? The Solar whatever... The one that looks the Eject mold that's like glowing gold.
I think that's the fourth one.
The fourth one that basically the same character but just like in a different, like a powered up version of it or something, possibly.
I thought there was only four cassettes with it at all.
No, there's the Eject mold is it red or blue in this? You get a T-Former stuff.
I thought you said it was Eject, not Rumble and Frenzy.
Yeah, it is.
And there you have my sole contribution to this segment.
It is. It's red. So, actually, let me bring this up on the browser here. This little guy. Not sure if we're actually getting this one. In the set or not, it's the Eject/Rewind mold, but in gold. He's like floating up there in space, but he's not Ravage, which would be perfect sense if it was. You know, actually, gold plastic is a bad idea. Maybe we shouldn't get that.
They're trying to out obscure stripes.
Yeah. So I've heard some conjecture on this one. Do we have any idea what the?
Okay. During G2, so you know we're already starting down the obscure road here.
Yes.
During G2, packaging mock-ups for the G2 GoBots, mock-ups, mind you, not final packaging at all, featured a call-out for a mail-away SolarBot figure.
Ah.
Which, since it was only mock-ups of the front, no back was ever seen for details, it only exists as a name and vague concept.
That's awesome.
And that's what this is based on.
Nice.
It'd be nice to actually, you know, get that in some capacity. I will take that in this mold. If it means I get five cassettes in the set.
Maybe.
I like cassettes. I'm all for repaints. So this is the first time I think we're actually getting Slugfest since G1. It's not appeared in any of the Encore sets that I'm aware of.
Probably not, because I think that's something people were, like, really wanting for, because they are so hard to get, relatively.
Yeah, Slugfest is not as rare as, like, the Japanese cassettes. I originally thought it was Dial or Dairyu or however you want to, Dairyu, however you want to say it.
Dial.
Yeah, Dial.
Like normal people.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought that was it when we saw the drawing, because it's basically Slugfest in a strange pose. He looked less like a Stegosaurus and more like a bipedal dinosaur. But it's Slugfest. I'm very happy to see that mold. Hopefully we'll get that in an Encore set. We already got Overkill, so he has his pal to play with. But yeah, to me that's like the coolest news all week. A couple other things popped up, but really nothing that major. before the show, we were talking about the Transformers Ultimate gift set. And Big Bad Toy Store has it for $40.
Mm-hmm. Well, two deluxes and two legends, you know, that's 30, about right.
That's about $30 for the market. Yeah, I guess. Interesting. So, yeah. We're trying to figure out what in the heck the point is of Jazz, but...
Well, I looked, you know, I think they were kind of going for G2-ish, but I don't think they quite got there, because I looked up some pictures of Jazz with all the decals, which mine has not had in decades.
Yeah.
And it does have that, you know, the blue name across the spoiler and the blue fenders. And, you know, I think they kind of were trying to go with that and just kind of jumped off on a tangent.
Yeah, they went freestyle with the rest of it, like the note, mm-hmm. the notes on the side, like the notes that are also... the pinstripes, whatever that is, whatever the detailing is. I really like the Motor Master. We haven't got that mold in Motor Master before, have we?
Well, that's one of the Asian. Yeah.
Oh, it is. And yeah, so of course that and Thundercracker, that's right. So, That's interesting.
Which, just like all the Deluxes and the Voyagers going to Toys R Us, they're only Asia exclusive until Hasbro here can find a way to release them.
This is true. So we're getting those two in this set, but also as a standalone release, potentially, at Toys R Us. Actually, yeah, that's right. So I like that mold as Motor Master. It makes sense to me. I just generally like that Reveal the Shield mold. I like it. It hasn't been overused. Yet, obviously, it's not as old, but like the old Spy Changer G2 Optimus, the Laser Optimus. Actually, it was originally Scourge, but it was repainted.
Yeah, that was a new one for Robots in Disguise.
Yeah, that was repainted a couple of times, but it wasn't really overused. I'd like to see. I don't know, maybe some sort of in the future, some sort of reuse of that. It's a good mold. It hasn't been used in 5 or 6 years. There's just opportunities.
I think they wore it out, though.
You think so?
I think all the Spy Changer molds are gone now.
Yeah, that's what I use.
I would think that the ones that are based on the G2 GoBots are definitely used up, because they've been released with the Tiny Tens. They've been released, you know, over and over and over and over again. But the new molds, the one that was Wild Rider, the Ultra Magnus mold, the this mold, and that was it, wasn't it? Yeah.
Okay.
An Optimus, sure. the Optimus Prime that from RID. There was a Spy Changer version of that as well. Yeah, I mean, I think those are the only new ones, and those haven't really been used that much. I would think. I think the last time that those two molds were used was during Universe. They got a re-release in say 2004, I think. They haven't been touched since, and they're not bad. And you know, eventually they have to go back to RID. I think. You know, I mean. So, RID is someone's G2. You know, 5 or 6 years, we'll probably start seeing people going back to RID. I just expect that to happen. I'm really looking forward to like a resurgence of Armada. Loves me some Minicons.
But nobody wants Energon to come back.
This is true.
There's a few nice toys, but I really have no love for that setting to come back.
Yeah, Energon is better off dead, and I skipped a good part of Cybertron. I know there's a lot of good toys there, but I just didn't have it in me.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I thought those were some interesting things this week. But generally speaking, it's been a pretty slow week. But like I was telling Amy before the show, she had pinged me and said that... she wasn't going to be able to do the comic news. I'm like, well, that's okay. For years, we didn't have any comics. I think not having comic news for 1 week, we'll somehow make it. This being the news that we talk about this week is pretty sweet, considering I think like the biggest bit of news that, like when I first really got online, was that someone had found some of the G2 watches at a Big Lots somewhere. I'm like, oh, God, that's awesome. I got to find a Big Lots, and I got to get that watch. Pretty sweet. Actually, it might have been a G1 watch. It was like new old stock. It was some watch. I really wanted it. I never got it. I'm disappointed. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to Rescue Bots. We'll be back right after this.
We're back once again with another Rescue Bots review for Radio Free Cybertron. I am Amy.
Yes. Hi, I'm Nick.
And we are going to be reviewing episode 3 of the Rescue Bots called Hot Shots, which came out in February of 2012. Now, this is the episode at the very beginning that we get the out-of-control Doc in his car as it's
That looks very similar to the DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Yes. Which is funny because then we find out at the very end that, you know, not only is there a car in there that's inspired by, but you know, there's a couple episodes that kind of Back to the Future.
It's amazing. It's like they've planned this whole thing out from... the whole season, and they're just like, oh, we should put this in here, and then we'll reference it over here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really cool.
Yep. But again, the teams are gradually getting used to each other with each episode, and I'm kind of glad that they showed that progression, because as we, you know, see more episodes, you know, they have bump-ins that actually work, and then they appreciate each other, and they lose each other, and then they get back together, and it's just like, it's good to see how they progress, and they did a really good job, especially coming back and seeing the first couple episodes where there was so much friction.
Uh-huh. And there still is with a couple people.
Yeah. Cade's ego is way too big for any of the
characters. Cade's always
going to
be bullheaded, and same with Heat Waves.
Yeah. But that's what we love this show for, is the fact that they never meet up, and they're partners,
like,
so they
each
have
other,
to.
But they're like this couple that they both like each other, but then neither one of them is going to admit it.
They're almost itching powder toward each other. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. This is also the first time where we find out. Well, not that we didn't know it already, but you know, Cade actually brags in front of the video screen about how awesome he is and how he's a rescuer and living it up and. Completely disregarding the fact that he's part of the team. There's I in that, right? There's a me in team, right?
Yeah.
I think that's where we got that phrase, too.
Me.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Okay, so after they save Doc, Danny asks Doc a favor to install a scoop claw. So the rest of the episode is pretty much revolves around the fact that this scoop claw adds a new dynamic to their team because Danny and Blades end up stealing the show of the rescues quite frequently because of it. And everybody is ready to hang them up and they're like, you don't appreciate us. And so they go off thinking, you know, we're going to go, we're appreciated. And then they get themselves into some trouble. Mm-hmm. Blades gets struck by lightning and is injured and can't fly. And they fall down right in the middle of a forest fire, which this lightning that struck Blades actually caused, which happens, you know, it was just a freak accident forest fire, but they're stuck in it. And as things kind of get intense for them because they can't get away, Blades is still injured. Cody is with them because Cody was trying to help patch things together. They end up stuck in the middle of a blaze and Blades can't get them away, so it's like, oh no,
they're saving their last breaths.
Cody and Danny are holding hands going, we're gonna cook inside our robot. Which
that
is really morbid. Yes. The rest of the team comes and finds them and they save them and carry them off the mountain, and then everything is put back together because Danny says how much she appreciates her family, being in a family of heroes, and she's really lucky that she gets to work with these really awesome rescue vehicles as well. So everything is repaired.
Everyone's so happy, and it's one of those happy endings. But one of my favorite parts is when you know, Blades finally gets his little scoop claw, and he's so subconscious about what he looks like.
Yeah.
Like, it, like any girl, you know?
Yeah, it's like, this makes you look fat. Yeah. And then after he loses it, then, you know, he was like, yes, but it, your waistline looks much better now.
Exactly.
Because it was quite literally, it made him look like he had this big old beer belly.
Beer belly, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So it was just like, aw.
But he's proud of it for at the moment.
It was ugly, and according to Blades, very itchy as well. So
yeah.
Or uncomfortable. I can't remember something like that that he said. But, yeah.
I think
one of my favorite, what I really liked about this is the whole, the moment that I liked was the part where Cody and Danny are flying around and he's like, you're always that way to me too. And they have this moment where they actually realize the communication errors that they've been having. And so you have this little brother sister moment. And I liked that. I thought it was really sweet, especially since Blades kind of said, well, yeah, you're the one that, you know, when you get angry, you know, you're really rough on my controls and that hurts. And so she realizes that she's kind of a little bit of, she's been this woman that she didn't think that she was. And so she tones it down after that and things get better.
Oh,
between
I love
her
and he's Blades. Awesome.
It was just, it was very cute. It was really cool to see the humans and the bot, at least one of them kind of jiving together and working well together. Because they, you know, they're a team. They have to learn to cooperate. So,
yep, exactly.
It was good.
It was very really good. Very good. Another two thumbs up.
Yes, absolutely. So, if you get a chance, like we said before, we're just reviewing old episodes of that have come out. The season has ended, but you can catch this. I'm sure the Hub will be rebroadcasting, or if not, it was, as soon as we find out whether or not there's DVDs coming out, I'm sure that we will put that on here as well.
I know Amazon has it up, but they haven't had a date for it yet.
Okay. Well, there's a placeholder on Amazon at least. Mm-hmm. They'll put this out, and I'm sure that you can find it on YouTube as well. So,
oh yeah, good. Yeah, you can find it on YouTube. That's where I like watch them at work.
Yeah.
Don't tell my boss.
Don't tell her boss, and don't tell Hasbro either, so they won't take it down.
Exactly.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Also, if we have already reviewed this episode, so if you're interested in hearing our full review of this episode, you can go to theunderbase@libsyn.com and look for The Rescue Center. I believe it was episode two. No, episode three. It was episode three. So, yep. Awesome. And we will catch you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys. So we're going to go ahead and jump to Transformers Rewind this week.
Already? Why did we even come back from break?
Screw you, XV. So we're going to go ahead and jump to Rewind this week. This week it is Triple Takeover. I have to say that it's been a while since I watched this episode, so sort of eavesdropping in on this recording took me back. I actually may go and watch this here in the next couple of weekends if I get some free time. If I have the flu or something and I have nothing better to do, I think I'll watch Triple Takeover. We'll be back right after this.
Radio Free Cybertron.
Transformers. Rewind.
This week on Transformers Rewind, it's Triple Takeover, where we learn why Megatron is the boss.
But one head does not belong.
Yes, Blitzwing, one head has failed to lead us to victory over the Autobots.
But this mistake will be corrected as soon.
Starscream, Blitzwing, and Astrotrain conspire to overthrow Megatron and take over the Decepticons themselves. As Starscream leads Megatron into a trap, he's betrayed by the Triple Changers as well, who then each set out to start building their own power bases.
A secret Autobot power station in a sewer?
Straight ahead, Megatron!
We'll need reinforcements.
Reinforcements? This is our mission, Megatron. We don't need to share the glory. Unless Megatron is afraid.
Megatron knows no fear. You have failed again, Starscream. It's a trap.
Simulation arena, an excellent base for Blitzwing headquarters.
Track 9 shows an unscheduled train. And there's no engineer.
I declare this to be Astrotrain headquarters.
That's it. I'm retiring now.
Astrotrain takes over a train yard and gets right to work upgrading a bunch of locomotives with computer controls so he can have them steal all of the world's energy and resources as long as they're attached directly to railroad tracks. And when he tries to show the other Decepticons all the cool tricks he taught his pet trains, one of them ruptures a water line and floods the city. Whoops! Meanwhile, Blitzwing has invaded a football stadium and conscripted the coach as his second-in-command. Blitzwing has also made a deal with the Constructicons to trade part of the Decepticon leadership for skilled labor. And he tasks them with building a highway maze for zone defense while he fires randomly into the city as part of a long bomb strategy. Also, the Autobots show up out of contractual obligation and Blitzwing manages to kill four of them. It'll get better later. So, you know, people talk about things like the giant purple griffin to point out why Megatron is this awful, ineffective leader. But I think an episode like this really proves how everybody under his command is so much worse at the job.
I mean,
yeah.
It depends on... Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on how you define worse. Yeah, in general. I mean... I think what comes out is again what happens a lot with the Decepticons when you don't have like a really powerful leader up front, which is the internal power struggles. I mean, essentially this all breaks down into, you know, internal power struggles with other, you know, even with Astrotrain, you know, more Decepticons show up and he just becomes a mockery. With Blitzwing, you know, he ends up getting into this huge back and forth with the Constructicons, and that goes poorly as well. So,
football coach.
Yeah, it's basically a dictatorship sort of, you know, mentality where it's like if you don't have when you have a power vacuum, you know, the smaller group, you know, the smaller leaders are going to try to fight for that power, and then that's essentially what happens here. I mean, they. It just doesn't go very well. Although I will say, this episode is terribly violent.
It is violent. It makes me want Blitzwing as a leader more, because he is like a killing machine, clearly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, on the other hand, he was up against Skids. I mean,
I guess, but I mean, like, in half a day, he has like a body count, so
yeah.
That can't all be bad.
And I mean, like, and probably one of the most violent lines of like the first two seasons of G1, where he tells the football coach to, you know, tell me what's on your mind, or else I'll splatter your brains all over the wall and see for myself. Yeah. It's like, oh my god,
that is pretty awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah,
and then like, I'm gonna throw you in this locker while I go kill four Autobots again.
Yeah, and like,
I think two of them, he like grinded on top of them. I think he like ran over them.
Ran over them, flattened them completely. Then Scavenger built them into a throne.
Yeah.
Yes, that was awesome.
Very morbid.
Yeah,
I think that throne was essentially like Prowl's corpse. Just and, you know, yeah. I guess Prowl with Rick and Mortis or whatever they have. Essentially, it was like, yeah, my throne is sitting in Prowl's dead lap. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was Prowl, Track, Skids, and Blue Streak.
Right.
Nice. Nice.
Mm. Of course, there probably couldn't have been much of Blue Streak, since Blue Streak basically exploded when Blitzwing ran into him.
Yeah.
I mean, this was just like, I was rewatching, I was like, I don't remember it being this violent, but wow, it really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember watching that sequence on the like Mixmaster Highway thing, thinking, I think after the first kill, I was like, oh my god, I think you could like interpret that as death. And then he like outright destroys the next three, and I'm like, oh, they're dead. So we're playing the death card. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. So it's okay, like the first death, ambiguous. Second, we're like, you know, R-rated horror movie, complete destruction.
Well, no, it's okay, though, because by the end of the episode, they're recovered enough to willingly form a new throne for Optimus Prime to sit on.
Which was even creepier.
Yeah,
like, we'll turn into a death throne for you, Optimus. Thankfully, Optimus is like, no, thinking, that's creepy, guys. Don't do that.
I'm thinking they may have suffered some brain damage in the process.
I don't know how you would tell the difference.
Perhaps. I guess Astro Train deserves a little bit of time too. He somehow reprogrammed those trains using Earth technology.
Astroforce?
Yeah, he took I don't know, a hard drive out of the train station, put it into the trains, and then they were somewhat intelligent, I think. Like RTD kind of.
Yeah.
They made noises and like, I guess, as smart as a dog, maybe a Labrador. I don't know.
If I would.
Kind of how I was looking at it too. He built himself some pet trains to go fetch him, you know, oil and energon and whatever, as long as it is attached to a railroad track.
I guess that was more plausible than building pet space shuttles. So,
well, that's another thing. This episode, it's probably like the most time Astro Train has spent as a train in all of the show.
Yeah, because his job is normally, hey, we need to go somewhere, turn into a shuttle.
Yep. He's the transporter.
We want to take a scenic ride through Vermont, turn into a train. You don't hear that a lot.
Yeah.
It's much more valuable to turn into the spacefaring vehicle.
Yeah. It was awful nice Trailbreaker to show up to, you know, cast some force fields. So.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. So the city's flooding, apparently up to like the 20th story, and Powerglide flies by and notices Trailbreaker just chilling out on a roof somewhere.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Well, what else is he gonna do, you know? He's just got, he has to do is,
it's not like he can do anything else.
He's just waiting around for someone to need a force field, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's watching this, though, it seems like there was maybe like a lot of heavy editing on the episode to fit it into the time, because a lot of the Autobot involvement seems really disjointed.
Do you think like this was originally like maybe a two-part or something that got cut down?
Oh, I hope not.
Well, I mean, wouldn't that explain the opening sequence? Was there any like context to Starscream and the Triple Changers making that Rushmore?
That is a good point.
They were just doing it just to
like,
do it.
You're just leading. Yeah, I mean, like, I guess they were vandalizing a mountain, and they just decided that was, you know, hey, that's the setup to our next wacky adventure.
And the plot between Starscream and the Triple Changers is almost implied more so than it is, you know, place.
Doing, which is they're carving their three faces and Megatron's face on that cliff to represent the leadership of the Decepticons. or at least what will be the leadership of the Decepticons once they cleverly overthrow Megatron by freezing him in a sewer.
Right.
Which ends up freezing Starscream as well, although he does seem to have some sort of, you know, power of being in the episode, even though he was Rose.
Yeah, well, my
he didn't
problem
freeze
with
the fast Megatron, so maybe he's tougher in some way, I guess.
My
I don't know.
Problem with this, well, he's a plane, so he has anti-icing technology.
God, what is it, 1999 now? Jeez. Like, oh, let's come up with a reason.
No, my problem with the whole plan to take Megatron down, though, is that even in the best of circumstances, freezing him to absolute zero, eventually he's going to thaw out.
No. He's. I love the concept of absolute zero molecules.
It's more
Do you remember in the Ultimate Doom when somebody decided to polarize their windshield to repel rain and hail molecules?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, obviously, Cybertronian science is so much farther advanced over ours that they've identified that specific kinds of molecules make up rain and ice, even though they are basically just composed of water.
Yeah. I love writers. It's for kids. They won't know the difference.
They didn't have Google back then.
Right, that's got to be it.
Or Wikipedia. Yeah.
Or encyclopedias. Or libraries. Or a television. I don't know.
I like the end of the episode, though, with the fight between all of the Decepticon quote-unquote leaders in the football stadium.
Yeah, which is everybody at this point.
Yeah. Yeah,
and the fact that Prime says he never gets involved with domestic disputes, although that's exactly what the whole episode is one big domestic dispute.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
that's why the Autobot part seems really tacked on, because they don't really do anything except to stand around and watch and kind of facilitate the infighting.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages.
Witnessing the creation of an incredible new world, a world of unbelievable excitement and fun, the world of the Ding-a-lings. The Ding-a-lings, here they come, the whole fantastic bunch of them, the most incredible toys you've ever seen, all new, all different. Holy smoke, what's going on? It's Ding-a-ling Fireman coming to the rescue. He's got his own built-in pumper to save the day. Ding-a-ling Shoeshine gives you the brightest shine you've ever seen. Ding-a-ling Answer Man's got all the answers in his head. Push the lever and he'll tell your future. Ding-a-ling Spy hides in the shadows and discovers your secrets with his hidden camera. Here's a real champion. Ding-a-ling Boxer packs a solid punch. There's a left, a right, an uppercut. Look at them go! Ding-a-ling Rocky is right on target. He's one sharpshooter that doesn't miss. There's Ding-a-ling Chef, and here comes Ding-a-ling Gopher. Ding-a-ling Chef salts your food, and Ding-a-ling Gopher serves it to you. Ding-a-ling Claw, lifting, carrying. He's the worker of the future. Ding-a-ling Construction Worker keeps the whole place shaken with his jumping jackhammer. And Ding-a-ling Policeman upholds the law with his whistle and nightstick. The Ding-a-lings walk like this and glide like this on the ground or on the special Ding-a-ling Skyways. Forward, right side up, upside down, defying all laws of gravity. Uphill and downhill with loops, returns over hills and valleys. They even drive their own Ding-a-ling vehicles. You've never seen anything like it. But wait, here comes the greatest Ding-a-ling of them all, presenting King Ding, mighty ruler of the Ding-a-ling world. What's this little guy doing? He's in King Ding's elevator and is riding up through the inner power plant. You see it all on the incredible closed-circuit TV screen built right into King Ding's back. Now he's getting close to the head. He's there. He becomes King Ding's actual brain. Watch him move his control levers and make the mighty King Dane go. With boys all over America right behind him to help him perform his tasks and rule the ding-a-ling world. What makes all this fun and excitement in the ding-a-ling world possible? This, the Ding-a-ling Power Pack. Just one power pack is all you need to make any of the ding-a-lings go. The most fantastic invention you've ever seen. It snaps in and out quickly and easily. With a price for the power pack and the ding-a-lings you find hard to believe. And that price will make it a year-round seller. The Ding-a-Lings, a whole new concept created for fun and excitement, complete with special skyways, vehicles, and accessories. And a $3 million TV campaign will introduce the world of the Ding-a-Lings for what it is, the most incredible fun idea ever to hit the toy market. Stand back, world. There's a whole new one on the way. The wild, wonderful, wacky world of the Ding-a-Lings.
Stan Bush here, and I dare you to check out Radio Free Cybertron.
We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
We're back. So next week we're going to do Carnage and frickin' C Minor. I'm looking forward to that. So, long time listeners of RSC, like people going back forever, will remember Mott Boy. A couple of months ago, I got a text on my phone from a number I didn't recognize that said I finally, for the first time, watched Carnage in C Minor. It's like, I wish I could undo the last 30 minutes. And I'm like, I couldn't figure out who it was, so I searched my email. I'm like, oh, it's Mott Boy. I didn't have him in my phone at that point. So this morning or yesterday, I texted him. I'm like, we recorded a review of Carnage in C Minor. I was thinking of you the whole time. So, now I hate to say that I have this correlation between Mott Boy and Carnage in C Minor. It's probably unfair to Mott Boy.
Maybe a little.
But yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. Future things. Let's see here. You guys did Heavy Metal War.
That was pretty cool.
That was really good. I'm looking forward to that. In fact, actually, we a couple more. We'll save those as a surprise later on. I'm really, really pleased with the way Rewind's working out. It's a segment that we sort of dreamed up on the way back.
It's one of the many things that we, you know, tossed around on the long trip from Dallas to Tennessee.
Yeah. Really, I'm really enjoying it, and there's so much stuff to cover.
And yes, Don, we will do Rebirth at some point down the road when I figure out how to make it work.
I'm going to be on Rebirth. I want to be on Rebirth.
Well, you probably want to be on Five Faces of Darkness, too.
I want to be on that and the Return of Optimus Prime.
Well, do you want the Return of Optimus Prime or Dark Awakening?
Oh, God. We did not do Dark Awakening.
We have not done Dark Awakening yet.
Dark Awakening is a little too easy. There's subtleties to Return of Optimus Prime that, like, especially with there are subtleties with Galvatron that I really love. I just love, like, the repartee back between Optimus and Galvatron. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but it's like they're old friends, when in reality they're like an old friend and another old friend with like really, really advanced plastic surgery that the other shouldn't have any context or clue that it's the same guy. But they do. But so there you go. I don't think Optimus really, especially since he hadn't actually got the Matrix back at that point. He shouldn't like have a clue who Galvatron is. Or what anything is. He should just like be like an old man, like lost in the supermarket.
No, that was in Rebirth.
This is true. This is true.
You have to think too that if there had been an actual season 4 of Transformers, Optimus would have been like that till he became a Power Master.
It would be like I've fallen and I can't get up.
But then they stick a little dude in your stomach and you're fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Haikyuu is pretty sweet.
Oh.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, he is completely lost.
Yeah.
Like, completely lost without the Matrix. It's pretty great.
And as it turns out, he's completely lost with the Matrix, or at least the empty Matrix.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, he was more lost. He is more lost with the empty Matrix than he was without the Matrix.
He just feels so empty inside.
Yeah. But yeah, so as I was saying, I really am enjoying the Transformers Rewind segment. And we have a playlist on YouTube where that is available. You can go back and watch all of the episodes. We're definitely not – we don't have any like plans on covering every episode of everything. We just sort of have a strategy of things we would – ideas, kinds of episodes we would like to cover. And, you know, we do take suggestions. So if there's something you want to see –
we take suggestions, but we don't promise to use them.
Yeah.
Or I don't, anyway.
Yeah. I would like to do some sort of comic segment like this, so I could maybe go back and do some of the, like, you know, Budiansky stuff or, like, the Blackthorn comic. But it just – I don't think it would quite work out. I don't – it would have quite the same punch. I would really – that's really more of a blog entry sort of thing.
Maybe so. Maybe we'll work on that in the upcoming weeks.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit one of the things, of course, it's a little bit easier for people to get a hold of the episodes than it is the comics at this point, I think.
That's true, because it's not like the comics are on a, you know, Netflix.
Yeah.
Exactly. They are more than you realize. Actually,
not officially.
Comicsology.
Yeah, I was trying to keep it to officially, but yeah.
No, Comicsology has, at this point, I think all of the G1 stuff in the classics. Then there are like three or four volumes of the UK classics book. I mean, you're not going to get the I mean, actually, if you want to find – if you have an Ollie's, you could probably still find the two G2 trades there for like $2 each.
I never found them at Ollie's. Had to get mine off of eBay.
Yeah.
Or actually, I had to get XV's off of eBay.
And let's see here. You're not going to find the Blackthorn comic like that. But actually, one thing, if you note to self, we need to go ahead and maybe do like one of the audio cassettes episodes, the read-along books, because we can actually pull those off of YouTube.
You know, we did that for a Twitter theater way back when.
Yeah, we did. That's right.
And it worked out pretty well, I think.
It did. And those things are great. In fact, recently I watched one, or listened to one, or followed along with one that I didn't even remember. So, but yeah, so maybe at some point we could do one of those. I really do think we should do Zone. And now I'm sort of veering too far into things I would like to do.
Well, that's kind of how Rewind works.
Yeah, but yeah, I really enjoy it. I think it's good stuff. I like having you as host, and. You know,
everything's better with me as host.
That's true. So, actually, at some point, we need to get Triplett.
Even JD thinks so. That's why he jumped ship to my show.
That's true. Actually, tell us about Superhero Time this past week.
Well, we invented the Claw Sentai Wolveranger, which is a Super Sentai team made up of just Wolverines from various comic books he's been in.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. We do that every now and then, make up new Power Ranger teams based on completely ridiculous concepts. The best one was when we did it with the Muppets, though.
Interesting. I didn't remember that.
You probably didn't listen to that one. You don't hardly listen to the show.
This is true. But it's good.
That's okay. You're not missing anything important.
Yeah. Actually, now you have a new domain, tokupodcast.com.
If that's active, sure.
I think it is. It may not be. I need to check that. I will log into GoDaddy after the show. By the time anyone hears this, it will be active.
Okay, then.
Fantastic. Rob,
redirects to Superhero Time, so perfect. We're good.
I guess it works.
Perfect. Rob, what's going
on? So now you can find Superhero Time at tokupodcast.com.
Yes.
Yes.
So, Rob, what's going on with flow-throughs this past week?
Well, right now my brother is still playing through Pokemon Black 2 in Japanese. I'm doing Gundam Battle Operation on the weekend, which is the free-to-play Gundam game on PSN, which is a lot of fun. There's a promotion right now for a couple of special mobile suits, which I still can't get a hold of. But yeah, working on that. But at the moment, that's about it. We finished our second anniversary contest about a week ago, sent out the games, and you know, things are going pretty well.
That's awesome. Sweet. So that pretty much does it for the show this week. We've had a couple of like 2 hour long plus shows. So this one's like 45 minutes an hour. You'll live.
That's a good length, though.
It's a good length. It's longer than I normally want to talk.
Well, I mean, I think an hour suits RFC.
Yeah,
just about right.
Yeah, we've always tried to shoot for an hour, and if we've gone like two, you know, like Case and people like that, some people don't. So, but if you haven't listened recently, we've had some really good stuff. We had a really good show last week. My favorite show recently was the one that we did a few weeks ago about non-Transformers toy lines from like the 80s and 90s. I think that was from the August 23rd show. So if you haven't listened, go back and check that out. You can actually also listen live at tfradio.net/live or at tformers.com. Right now we do the show on Thursdays. We're thinking about moving it back to Wednesdays. We seem to have a better response then, and my schedule was better then. So, but right now, until you hear otherwise, it's Thursdays at tfradio.net/live. And tformers.com at 8:30-ish Eastern Daylight Time, Standard Time, whatever at the time of year. But yeah, so we have a chat room going. Diecast, Don, Melvar, everyone there. So sometimes Peter will show up, or Amy, or Rob if he's not on the show, which has happened once or twice. We pay attention even if, you know, we're not able to necessarily type away during the show. And, we always, make a point to, give a shout out to the chat. And if the chat brings up something that we want to talk about during the show, we do it. We, try to keep the show as fluid as possible, and as interactive as possible. So, tfradio.net/live and tformers.com every Thursday at 8:30 Eastern. So, check that out. Follow us online at tfradio.com on Twitter, and pardon me, at tfradio, and you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/tfradio.
That sure was a monologue.
That was a monologue. That was almost a decalogue. I'm kidding. Okay. So that's the show for this week. That's what you get.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We're done.
Fine with me.
Yeah,
okay.
That's it. That's the show. We're doing the show. It's over. I'm going to have to go work. Yep. So that's the show. We'll be back next week. Thank you all for watching. And everyone in the chat, thank you very much. For the guys, I'm Brian Gilby. We will see you later.
This has been Radio Free Cyberdrive. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.